This is a listener-sponsored community radio station providing you a Pacifica state of mind since 1960. And we are in fundraising mode. We are in week number four of our fund drive here, attempting to raise some funds to make sure that this institution continues to provide you that unique perspective of the world that you expect from us here on a daily basis since 1960. The number to call to show your support right now is 516-620-3602, or go to give to wbai.org online. It is 3 p.m. Stay tuned for Vantage Point with the Professor Ron Daniels coming up.
Good afternoon. This is the Professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, President of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and Distinguished Lecturer Emeritus at York College, City University of New York. I welcome you to this pledge drive edition of Vantage Point, February 24th, here on WBAI 99.5 FM in collaboration with ycradio.org. Well, again, it is a pledge drive show, but before I talk about the pledge drive specifically, I just want to quickly acknowledge that as we are on the air, of course, there is a great gathering out at the Staples Center in Los Angeles as basketball royalty and fans and all kinds of people are paying a tribute at a memorial service to Kobe Bean Bryant, the Black Mamba. It is truly a very moving experience. So we just want to again acknowledge that, and what a huge tragedy, particularly with his daughter Gigi. A lot of people really, Kobe too, but the fact that his daughter and other young people were on that flight, that tragic helicopter crash that took the lives of a total, I think it was 9 people altogether, and many of them were just young people whose lives were ahead of them. Also, today's New York Times takes note of another great person, B. Smith. Model turned restaurateur and lifestyle guru is dead at 70. Got to know her. Many of us got to know her. She would close her program talking about Dan, her lovely partner and husband. She had such fabulous restaurants. Had a chance, I think, to go to, I guess there were 3 of them, one out on the island, one here, one in Manhattan, and then the one I most frequently went to and enjoyed mostly, frankly, was at Union Station in Washington, D.C. What a wonderful person she was. She, of course, was battling Alzheimer's for many, many years, and, of course, taken away from us far too young. But nonetheless, we are, you know, we're delighted to have known her, and, you know, her spirit lives on, and we are happy to just share that information, and our hearts go out, our condolences go out to the family. Well, this is a pledge drive edition, as we said earlier, and I'm being very basic. You know, I'm just trying to do whatever I can to be supportive. So today I have a goal of just 5 WBAI buddies, 5 WBAI buddies. We're not going to have, again, sort of a premium. We say WBAI is the premium. But we want to get 5 WBAI buddies, persons who are listeners who and potential supporters or actual supporters who would just give $10 a month, a minimum of $10 a month, $120 a year, in order to sustain this powerful, powerful voice out here that we so urgently need at this critical moment in history. It is a moment of great challenge, but a moment of great opportunity. There is, in fact, the potential that In November of this year, there will be the kind of marching on ballot boxing, sweeping change that will open the door for a huge step towards a more perfect union. And in so doing, sort of purging the system, or at least partially, of some of the contradictions that have plagued this nation for so many years. So we need WBAI, and we need WBAI buddies. These are persons who really go to give their credit card or their debit card or by way of their savings account, will give just $10 a month. You can give $25, you can give $50, you can give $100. I'm a WBAI buddy, delighted to be one. Going to be rechecking that to just make sure that it is happening, because it happens automatically. I want to make sure that nothing has transpired to disconnect it because of a changing or expiring credit card or something of that nature, because sometimes that can happen. But that certainly has been my commitment. So five WBAI buddies. Then I'm going to give another pledge myself today of $50, $50 pledge from me. And that will be, I pledged $125 a couple of shows ago, $100 last show, and $50 today, a total of $275. I want 10 people today, just 10 people who will match that $50. That's a modest request, particularly in our last half hour. Hope we can meet those goals today. But our show today is devoted to a very, very special guest. We had with the Pan-African Unity Dialogue, a formation of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, which meets quarterly. It brings together leaders and organizations from the continental African community in the diaspora, Caribbean Americans, Afro-Latinos, and African Americans to talk about how we can cooperate together, work together, and in fact, practice Pan-Africanism here in terms of influencing foreign policy towards Africa, but also doing things like making sure that immigrants are signed up for the census, and that all of black people, in fact, are signed up for the census to maximize our power. Some of you recall we did the Proud, and was certainly covered here on WBAI, the hashtag Proud Africans demonstration that we had, it was last year, actually. It was covered by WBAI. Michael J. Haskins covered that. And out of that came a proud policy, hashtag proud Africans policy agenda. It is an incredible formation. We've hosted the former AU ambassador. We call her Ambassador Arakana, as well as Karen Bass. And so it's an incredible formation. We had the privilege this last Saturday to host a awesome delegation of some 21 of our sisters and brothers from Nigeria. And leading that delegation was a person who is, in effect, the minister for Nigerians living abroad, of the Nigerian diaspora. It's a dynamic woman whom we met, Dr. Julius Garvey, myself, George Fraser, and others, as we went with Reverend Dennis Dillon and his lovely wife, Dr. Zinzili Dillon, on the door of our return. And when I met her, we wanted to invite her to come to the Pan-African Unity Dialogue to talk about Nigeria, but her desire that more people come to visit Nigeria as a part of the door of our return. And so we're delighted to have with us this afternoon for just a few minutes, because she has a very, very busy schedule. And we were so, again, delighted to have her with us. I'm just going to call her the Honorable, as she was in the meeting. Everybody referred to her as the Honorable. Madam Bike has joined us. And so I'm going to refer to her as in the short form as well. So Honorable Madam Bike, please join us here on Vantage Point. Are you with us?
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you, Dr. Ron Daniels.
Madam Abiki, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you? I'm glad to be with you this afternoon. Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, I can hear you now. Yes. I mean, I know if it's quiet, I know you're not there, because you're not quiet. You're very energetic. We always can hear your voice. It is so great to have you here with us on WBAI 99.5 FM. on the Pacifica Network. This is a powerful station. We have a great audience. And we want to get right to it because we know you're very, very busy. First of all, we thank you so much for coming to the Pan-African Unity Dialogue with such an awesome delegation. It was a awesome occasion, so filled with inspiration and hope and promise. And, of course, you are the person who put it all together, people coming all the way from Maryland who had been a part of the Door of Return initiative and trip last year and others that are coming forward. So, again, first of all, just want to thank you for coming and being a part of that delegation. But I want to get right to you a little bit because I want to talk about who Madam Abike is, a little bit about your background, your education, a little bit about your career. I looked up a little bit. You've done a lot of things in your life.
Well, I'm glad. I want to thank you for inviting me. And that was a powerful event, inspirational speeches. And we appreciate you, Dr. Julius Garvey, Ms. King, and everybody. That was awesome. And, well, I'm, as you said, the chairman of the Nigerians in Diaspora Commission. It's just 8 months old. The Nigerian government decided to create a commission for the diaspora because we
But, Madam Abike, before you do that, Madam Abike, one of the things that I always do on this show is I never let great people just sort of talk about their work. I want to talk about you. I want to talk about who is Madam Abike, who has been in government. You've done some fashion things, some creative things. You're a bad sister. I want our audience to know who you are.
Okay. I'm a broadcast journalist by profession. I anchored a very popular program in Nigeria on the network of the Nigerian television that made me like I could have been the Oprah Winfrey of Nigeria, actually. But 15 years in journalism, I left for politics. I've been a member of the Nigerian House of Representatives for 12 years, during which I sponsored the Freedom of Information Bill, which is now a law in Nigeria, the Violence Against Persons Bill, which is now a law in Nigeria, a bill for the advancement of women and girls, which is still pending in Nigeria, also a bill to ensure that persons with disabilities get their rights, and I'm glad that that is now a law in Nigeria. Also, I sponsored, incidentally, the Nigerians in Diaspora Commission Bill, and quite a number of bills and motions that I sponsored too. And after 12 years in parliament, I decided that I was not going to contest elections into parliament anymore. We have limitless terms because I decided that I had enough. So I gave the opportunity for a younger person to take my position, and I'm glad I did that. After my term in parliament, I was made the special advisor to Mr. President on diaspora affairs. And while in parliament, I was the pioneer chairman of the House Committee on Diaspora Affairs. And subsequently, we had a diaspora commission for which, I'm the pioneer chairman. And what I do mostly is I work a lot with women and girls, advancement of women, of girls. And then in the diaspora thing, I do a lot of humanitarian things, help Nigerians in distress. We recently brought back about three Nigerians that have been executed in Saudi Arabia. It never happened before. But we succeeded with the commission and worked with other agencies. So I don't want to go on and on, but I know that I'm in politics. I do humanitarian work. I believe in women and girls, and I do a lot of mentoring for young girls. Well, I'm a multiple award winner. I can't count, maybe over 500. I'm waiting for your award, Dr. Daniels. So basically, I think that just summarizes who I am. And I also believe that, you know, humanity to connect us all together. You know, one thing binds us all together. We are human beings, and let's work together to uplift the dignity of humanhood. No matter where you come from, black, white, blue, brown, it really doesn't matter. Let's work together and lift up humanity. So right. I think that in a nutshell should sum up a little bit of what I think I do.
Well, that's where we wanted to get to, because we want people to know who you are. And you said a number of things that were very important in that regard, including your desire. You know, you could have gone on and on and on and on, but you decided it would be important to let someone else have an opportunity, and someone who was younger, your work with women. All of these are important things that define who you are. And that's why whenever I'm having a person on my show, I want people to know who you are, what drives you, what motivates you. And you certainly have shared that. Yeah. And in the process, you've talked about the Diaspora Commission And I think there, it sounds to me, I know that, I almost said Haiti because I know in Haiti there is, and I've worked with many ministers for Haitians abroad, but this is the first time actually when I met you in South Africa that I had been aware of a diaspora commission per se. So I don't know whether other countries have them or not, but I was very impressed that there is a particular position within the government of Nigeria dealing with the diaspora, and you've talked about some of the various roles that it plays. Let's now switch to what you came to the Pan-African Unity Dialogue with, a first of all, a premier film that was a great filmmaker. But it was really about the door of return in Nigeria, because you were telling us in South Africa, well, there's a lot of, don't overlook Nigeria now. And there's a story to be told, and we want people to know about that story. You had the opportunity to talk, to tell that story along with many people, Dr. David Anderson and others who had gone with you, the incredible filmmaker who did the film and all. So talk to us about the Nigerian door of our return.
Okay. Nigeria is the first country in Africa to open, physically open a door. You see, our ancestors were taken away as slaves to the point of no return. But what we said was, when you come, you walk, you physically walk through that path. It's a long walk through the path our ancestors walked through before they were thrown into the ship, into the boat, into the ocean. So we have a symbolic walk. It's a very emotional walk. It's very spiritual. It's very deep. So what we do is you take that walk. I really can't explain it until you come and experience it. You take a long walk, which we've been doing for the past 4 years. And then after taking that walk, experience what our ancestors experienced with chains on their feet, with heavy iron, with, you know, sometimes their drinks, they have to drink from a well, which was poisoned and all that. So you take that walk. It's a very emotional walk, like I said. And then by the time you return, we now open a door for you, which we call the door of return. So it's like you were taken away through the point of no return. So now you come back through a door of return where you're received as kings and queens and royalty, which is what we all are as Africans. So you see the community come to welcome you with open arms. And then what we do thereafter is it's not just a walk, but it's a walk that opens. It's a physical connection. It's a spiritual connection. It's an emotional connection. It's an economic connection. What you want to see, what can I do with and for the continent? How can I return to the motherland? What can I do for the motherland? How can we work together as human beings? Now, as long as Africa remains the way it is, as long as Africa is being looked down upon, every black person will be looked down upon. So it's like we need to build bridges between African in the diaspora and Africa on the continent. I mean, if the Chinese, the Indians, others are investing in our country, why not you, the African-Americans? Why not you that actually own the continent, that belong to the continent? So I think even spiritually, it's about time to look back and see what we can do with the continent. And it might appear small, but it's big. And in the last 4 years, we've had people from America, especially African-Americans, come back to say, okay, we want to invest here and then want to do, even if it's just philanthropy, even if it's, you know, taking a kid and, you know, ensuring a kid goes to school. So it's a whole lot of things. So the next one will take place October 21 to 25th in Badagry. It's a place called Badagry, Lagos. And you can call it tourism, you can call it, but it's deep and it's about connecting to the motherland. And we know a lot of people are doing their DNAs and find out where they come from. If you don't know where you're coming from, you may not know where you're going to. So for us, it's a program that we hope will attract everyone. Come and walk through that door and be received as kings and queens and royalty, which is what really we all are. And the fifth edition will be taking place, like I said, October 21 to 25th, 2020, in Badagry, Lagos.
Okay, and yes, we'll put those dates out there, October 21st to the 25th. We'll talk later because, unfortunately, I won't be able to go this year because, as we know that we're going to be doing a State of the Black World Conference. But I want to talk more about Nigeria in general to our audience and come back, loop back to the door of our return, because one of the other reasons why we do the Pan-African Unity Dialogue is because we have an increasingly, as you heard me say, and as you're aware, at the Pan-African Unity Dialogue, we have an increasingly diverse black community in this country, which is being enriched with the second wave of immigrants coming from Africa. This one voluntarily. The first one, as you just talked about, was an enforced migration to this country. And I often tell people, just to help make the point, because if you're in New York, if you're in Washington, D.C., people are used to seeing our brothers and sisters from the continent in our community, you know, here and being a part of the community. But if you're in Jackson, Mississippi, or Chicago, or Los Angeles, or dare I say Houston, Texas, you would not necessarily expect the same. But there are now well over 50,000 Nigerians in Houston, Texas, and maybe another 20 or 30,000 in Dallas, Texas. But not only Nigerians, though Nigerians are a large part of the population, they're just continental Africans, sisters and brothers all over the United States of America now. I had some friends out in Pittsburgh. The African population in Pittsburgh is now about 1 or 2% of the black community is now the continental African community. So one of the things that we are interested in doing is learning about that, making sure people are aware of what is happening in the country. But also we'd like to know about the countries itself. So tell us a bit about Nigeria. And let me just say, one of the things about Nigeria, people tend to think about Lagos. And Lagos, like Port-au-Prince, for example, in Haiti, has a kind of a bad rap. It's just like a scene as this very unmanageable, very difficult city, you know, and so forth. But that's about what a lot of people know. They don't know much about who makes up the population of Nigeria, what some of its assets are, and whatever. We do know we had a great play, Fela, which came into the country. A lot of people were educated through that and whatever. But again, share with us just some background on Nigeria itself.
Let me break it into two. I want to share about Nigeria and then Nigerians here in America. Let me start with the Nigerians here in America, because at this point in time where President Donald Trump has decided to put Nigeria on some travel ban, which we don't deserve. Like you said, we have thousands of Nigerians in America doing great things in America. Immigrants here, they are both Nigerian and American, and they are professionals here. And even President Obama described Nigerians in America as the most educated immigrants anywhere in the world. So we have Nigerians who are doing great things. We have a few who may be committing crime, getting into credit card fraud and all that, but that's just a small percentage, and they don't represent who we are. But here in America, I'm in Delaware here, I'm amazed at what Nigerians are doing here in Delaware. And I'm sure the same thing with Houston, Atlanta, New York, everywhere in America. Out of Association of Black Doctors in America, 70% of them are Nigerian. They're doctors.
My doctors are Nigerian, by the way.
Thank you. And I'm sure you can't do without him. So I think first is it is unfair for President Donald Trump to put us on that ban. Because what he's saying is that doctor who is here in America treating you, working here, cannot bring his relative to America. He's not saying that I can come as a non-immigrant, but he's saying that those that are already immigrants cannot bring their relatives. If that doctor now marries somebody in Nigeria, he can't bring his wife to America. So it is an unfair ban. Is targeting the wrong people, and we hope that he will reconsider that and realize that we don't deserve to be on that list. So I hope that the ban will be lifted as soon as possible. So I enjoin you and others to please let him know that it's not fair to put us on that list. If anything, Nigerians have contributed to the development of America. Howard University alone, last 2 years ago, out of 89 graduates, 49 were Nigerians, and 16 of them were on the honors list. I could go on and on and on. In the medical profession, Nigerians are breaking barriers in every part. So let's leave that as Nigerians in the diaspora that are here in America, that we are also working with and saying, let's work together to build even our own country, our continent. Now, back to Nigeria itself, and that's why we're saying that one of the things we say is, let's invite you there. I mean, I'm not saying it's a perfect system. New York is not perfect.
That's right.
New York could be like Lagos. You know, New York could be like Lagos, but we're a beautiful country with beautiful people. We're rich in a lot of things. Agriculture, human and material resources. Yeah, we got oil, but it's not about oil anymore, but a whole lot of things we can do. And we have every state in Nigeria is blessed with some mineral resource or the other. And we have a president now who is saying, let us diversify and tap into this enormous human resources. Nigeria is blessed with the most beautiful, wonderful people, warm, friendly, welcoming. And you know what? We've got good climate, we've got good weather, we've got beautiful people, we've got a great land. What else could we want? We've had issues of leadership, I know, in the past, in that we had leaders who did not really take us to where we should be. So right now is that we're starting from the foundation. We're dealing with corruption. Corruption has eaten up the system. So you have a president who is dealing with corruption, saying, what, we have to tackle corruption. We have to just make our country grow. The resources are meant to work for the people, to build infrastructure, to build roads, to give education, Medicare, to lift 100 million people out of poverty. And we need to support that president to do all that. And I'm glad that here in America, some millions of dollars that were stolen is about to be returned back to Nigeria. So Nigeria is not what you see on television or here on radio. So we're saying that physically, I say with pride and dignity, that you should visit more. Come to Africa more. See what is there and let's work with you. And I'm glad that a lot of people, even Americans that have lived in Nigeria, don't want to leave. When they retire, when they finish, they stay back. And they will tell you more about what you're expecting in Nigeria. Now, Lagos is not only Nigeria. Lagos is the economic center. I come from Lagos. I'm so proud to be a Lagosian. It's the economic nerve center, but we have 36 states, each with its own unique peculiarities. Now, you hear things like Boko Haram. Yes, we deal with terrorism in one part of Nigeria. Just one part of Nigeria. Before this time, we had them control local governments, but not anymore. But you understand that terrorism is an unconventional warfare. The whole world is still battling with terrorism. Yeah, we have a bit of that, but under this administration, they've been secluded to one local government. So we're dealing with that, but you know, it's not going to affect you in coming to Nigeria. But we hope that we solve the problem of terrorism, which is a world problem. So that is about what you can hear about, oh, Boko Haram. And then you also hear that about religious battle. No, terrorism is terrorism. Nobody is killing Christians. Muslims are not killing Christians. The terrorists, you know, are killing anybody, everybody, not just Christians. And we hope that it's a problem the world can solve. And we've appealed to partner with other countries of the world to help us in battling this issue that was created years before the move to Nigeria. So Nigeria is a beautiful country. I invite you all to come to Nigeria. Now with the Diaspora Commission, we have a structure to work with. You know, whether you're an African-American in the diaspora, whether you're Nigerian, that's why we have the commission. Work with us. Let us know your fears and challenges. If I will be there to receive you and take you around and, you know, make you see, go here and there and a whole lot of good things. So I think I come from the most beautiful country in the world. Well, there are little challenges, but there are challenges of leadership that I'm sure we will get over. So we're encouraging Nigerians to go out and vote for people that can, you know, make a difference in the country. We're encouraging Nigerians to speak out speak out against injustice, against bad governance and all that. And I'm sure as time goes on, we can only get better and stronger. And we continue to ensure that the narrative changes, and the narrative is that is out there in the Western media is false, it is wrong. And they know it. They know it. And we're having more people who come to Nigeria to tell the whole world exactly what it's about. I'm not saying we're perfect. Nobody is perfect. America is not perfect. But the narrative has to change to the reality of the situation.
In Nigeria, you know, we were laughing at the meeting about how many people are Nigerian. Everybody was proclaiming to be Nigerian in one way or another, including Senator Sanders. I have Gina Page, and we're going to put that out there because the chair of the commission was raising the question, because so many people are going to be looking for their DNA test, whether or not there were black people who were doing that. And there is. There may be more than one company, but one that I know of is Gina Page. Dr. Gina Page has a company. She is the one who did my DNA testing, and I came up as a Yoruba, so I am a Nigerian, right? And
you're my big brother.
Right, and there are many, many.
I heard Gina Page herself is Yoruba. She's Nigerian.
Yes. But people should always so know that Nigeria. Correct me if I'm wrong, is the largest population of Africans on the continent. Is
Absolutely.
That correct? That's correct, right?
That's correct. And the largest slaves were taken away from Nigeria, from the western part of Nigeria. So with the largest number of slaves came from West Africa, and the largest came from Nigeria. And, you know, again, we have many tribes and groups. So you are Yoruba. Senator Sanders is from another ethnic group. Dr. Julius Garvey is from another ethnic group. You know, so and that's interesting.
Yeah, so we have the Igbos, we have the Hausa, we have the Fulani, these various rich ethnic groups.
And another interesting thing, here in Delaware, the chief of staff to the governor is Nigerian. She's 37% Nigerian. And then also one of the members of the council did our DNA. She's also Nigerian. So I think I've come here to discover more Nigerians. Right. And what we're going to be demanding on your behalf is that you must get your Nigerian passport.
Right. Well, I'm up to that. And just as an aside, and I'm going to quickly close on a couple of other points, but just as an aside, I have only been through the airport at Lagos in transit two or three times. My father, before he made his transition, who became inspired by his son to talk about Pan-Africanism, and there was a professor at Youngstown State University, where I previously taught and lived. His name was Dr. Amadi. And so we arranged for my father. He went to England, and from England to meet with some friends there, he went to Nigeria. So he, my father, went and spent time in Nigeria. And I never have had a chance to go yet, but so now I have to follow my, even though I'm the one who inspired my father to go, now I have to make the trip myself. But my father did go.
Dr. Daniel, the trip doesn't have to be in October. Anytime, please come. We will host you. We will receive you. It doesn't have to be in October if you can't make the door. But anytime you want to, you have spare time, you want your vacation, please come to Nigeria. You'll be amazed at what you see.
Right.
You'll be amazed,
I'm sure I will.
I'm telling you.
Well, finally, as you're aware, one of the things that I'm committed to this proposition, but we're also committed to the proposition of having the investment that you talked about, the opportunities that we see in various countries, but particularly also in Nigeria. And we're in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and the Pan-African Unity Dialogue interested in encouraging people. And so we're going to be reaching out to you because the State of the Black World Conference is an amazing conference that we're having in November, the 2nd through the 6th in Newark, New Jersey, under the leadership of Roz J. Baraka, one of the most progressive mayors in the United States of America. And we're going to be inviting various nations, four or five in particular, that we're going to be targeting to come and to do their exhibits and to essentially be sponsors, frankly, so that they can be exposed to hundreds and hundreds of people who are inclined to want to come to Africa, to go to Nigeria and other places. So we are really going to be reaching out to you, whether it is you comes back and maybe if you and the Minister of Tourism or whatever, to invest so that we will be mutually investing each other. It will be a huge payoff. In terms of the exposure
that
we take and so
forth. Did you say it's in November? November what?
No, it's December. It's December 2nd through the 6th. I'll be sending you a communication about it as soon as
you can count on me. I'll be your coordinator back there, and I'm sure a lot of us will be interested in participating because that bridge has to be built. That connection is very important, and it's going to be a win-win situation for every one of us.
Right, absolutely. So, it was just so wonderful to see so many people who came as a part of the delegation. There were legislators who came. There were folks who had gone with you, had been on the door. Dr. Anderson from Maryland, who's going to build a major hotel over there and whatnot. So we just want to let our audience know that it was spectacular. We're out of time for this segment, but and I know you have many, many things to do, so I really, really appreciate you taking time. We had to have you on WBAI 99.5 FM to share your experience, to let people know who you are and the ongoing connections that we're making with the Pan-African Unity Dialogue and the Institute of the Black World 21st Century with our sisters and brothers on the continent. And we now have a new friend who has joined us and is a part of us. And we are part of her and she and the diaspora here in Nigeria. A number of the people came up and they want to become a part of the Pan-African Unity Dialogue. We're going to make that possible. But we will see you soon on the other side. So
Thank you, Dr. Daniel.
Yes.
It's a privilege and an honor to have been in your program. I look forward to participating again. And I hope that you can extend membership to people like us to join the Pan-African Unity Dialogue, those of us outside America.
Well, we're going to work on that. We're getting a lot of requests like that. We're going to work on that. Again,
thank you very much.
We thank you so much. And safe travels. Safe travels.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, we're not going to take a break. We're going to keep rolling. But we did want to share with you this incredible meeting that we have at the Pan-African Unity Dialogue. The Pan-African Unity Dialogue is an invitation only body. It just so happens that the general manager is on the WBAI is on the invite list. We have believed, frankly, that the engagement of the general manager of WBAI would really yield some fruit in terms of relationships and all kinds of things. But when you're under siege and there's so many things you have to manage, sometimes it becomes difficult. We only meet four times a year, however, and I've been trying to encourage my friend. He made one meeting, maybe two, way back when, but it's been too long. People need the voice. This is an opportunity. The voice, and I'm there, and of course I'm always touting WBAI, but it's nothing like the leadership being involved in some of these leadership types of gatherings. I mean, we had an amazing, amazing delegation. 21 people comprised the Nigerian delegation, and these were, and not only that, we also had at the Pan-African Unity Dialogue the Honorable Rhonda King. She is the permanent representative from St. Vincent and the Grenadines to the United Nations. St. Vincent and the Grenadines has a seat on the Security Council, this small island nation under the leadership of Prime Minister Ralph Gonsalves has a seat on the Security Council. And we're going to post her speech, her remarks on the website. I mean, the voice of a small nation taking strong progressive positions on reparations, on immigration, on economic development, speaking out around the issue of Haiti and a number of other issues. I mean, speaking out on the issue of Nigeria. I mean, really, really forceful and just dynamic leadership. And women, because she was very strong about, you know, the inclusion of women in terms of her staff and the staff in Washington, D.C., and how women are playing a crucial role. We're going to post that on the IBW website at ibw21.org. It'll take a couple of days, but it will be there for us. And so she also was there. Dr. Julius Garvey was there. I mean, it was, and he made a powerful presentation about the 100 years. And you've already heard him here, but he did it in even more depth at the Pan-African Unity Dialogue about the, and he quoted from his father, his own words about what the convention meant 100 years ago, the convening of the Negro peoples of the world, and what that meant and its impact and what the aspirations were. It was an incredible gathering. And all of that, of course, as I said before, is going to be, as you heard me say, pointing towards State of the Black World Conference 5 in Newark, New Jersey, December 2nd through the 6th of this year. Now, let's talk about WBAI buddies. Because we are really going to be engaging, hopefully, with WBAI to push towards State of the Black World Conference 5. And part of that is we have declared, as you've been hearing me say, this year, two big things. I mean, there are many, many big things. It's also in May, I think, the 100th anniversary of Tulsa being destroyed. This was a riot. You know, when people talk about Newark and Detroit as riot. No, these were insurrections. These were rebellions. Tulsa was destroyed. Black Wall Street was destroyed by, you know, a mob, a white mob. That's different. 100th anniversary, and reparations are due for that, among other things. But also the 100th anniversary of the convening of the International Convening of the Negro Peoples of the World right here in Harlem for 31 days, 31 days, over 2,000 people from all over the world, kicked off with a rally at Madison Square Garden with 25,000 people. Unbelievable. So we're educating around that. And Dr. Julius Garvey will be playing a leading role in helping to provide that education. We're going to be rolling out, you know, speeches and quotes and all kinds of material on Garvey. And we're having a big kickoff event. I hope it's going to be big. We're asking you to be a part of it on March 7th at the historic House of the Lord Church. We're having a major kickoff rally to talk about the year of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, to talk about organizing and mobilizing for State of the Black World Conference 5, but also talking about building support, embracing the vision and mission of IBW. And I'll be making a keynote address on that occasion to talk about IBW at the crossroads, because we really, really, really need the support of our friends to make the State of the Black World Conference politically successful, also economically successful, to make it the biggest State of the Black World Conference ever. Charles Barron will be there, Larry Hamm. I call him Senator Larry Hamm, Frederica Bay, Barbara King, Dr. Monique Swift, Monifa Bandelli, and I think I've already mentioned Charles, Dr. Julius Garvey will be there as well. We'll talk about that really in full detail next week. On next week's show, we have a PSA that we're going to be shooting over to WBAI. Hopefully that it will be played to get the information out. But you can already go to our website, IBW21.org, IBW21.org, and you'll be able to see the information about this. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll be able to see the program, the speakers. All of that will be posted on the IBW website. Now, we got about 10 minutes left to achieve the goals that I outlined, and that is to get 5 WBAI buddies. 5 WBAI buddies, because I want you to support WBAI, because WBAI supports, as it does many causes and many righteous organizations and initiatives, it supports the work that we've been doing on with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. Time and time again, because it's good work. I mean, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not apologetic about it. We do outstanding work with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. We do huge work with limited resources, which is what WBAI does too. Huge work with limited resources. And we need the support of WBAI in order to achieve our objectives this year, the crowning achievement of which will be the State of the Black World Conference, wrapped in all the things we talked about in terms of educating about the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. I mean, we need to know more about Garvey. And we intend to do that work this year. And we intend to go roll straight up into the State of the Black World Conference with an incredible array of plenary sessions and speakers and working sessions. I mean, working sessions, and to come out with an action agenda and with the resources to implement that action agenda. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next several months in one way or another. It is, to me, the organizing effort of my life. It's nothing more challenging, nothing more strenuous and stressful, because we're doing it on guts and faith. And that faith is in the people that our brothers and sisters will come forth to do what needs to be done. And so a WBAI buddy again, and just 5 people. And by the way, the phone number is 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Hold that number, but get ready to dial that number. At least 5 people, some of whom may, of you out there who've never called before, or who've never really donated before, should do so today. Just 5. I've tried to keep it modest and simple. By becoming a WBAI buddy, you become a sustaining contributor. It means that the station has, if we can build like hundreds of WBAI buddies, we'll have less fundraising drives. What it really means is that, you know, the management knows that it can count on a certain amount of resources, so incredibly important, and that you're in that number. Now, again, I will, by the time I write my check tonight or tomorrow, I will have given $275 this pledge drive, in addition to being a WBAI buddy. Now, everybody can't do that, so I'm not trying to, like, you say everybody should do what I do. You can't. You do what you can. But do what you can. Do what you can. commit to doing what you can. So $10 is the minimum. $10 a month, $120 a year. $10, $120 a month can make you a WBAI, a rock, a foundation for WBAI. And you get a tote bag, you get perks, and you get benefits just for being a WBAI buddy. But the real premium, we don't have a premium today, but the real premium is WBAI is sustained because you had the audacity and the belief and the conviction to step forward. And so go to your phones right now. I just want five people, and hopefully we'll get many more than five. But, I mean, I'm just only asking for five. 516-620-3602 to become a WBAI buddy. You're hearing it all across the airway. You're not just hearing it from Dr. Ron Daniels. You're hearing it from all of the announcers, all of the producers. We're all on one page. We're all on one accord. We are urging you to become a WBAI buddy, because if you become a WBAI buddy, you become a part of the edifice of the infrastructure of WBAI to maintain it and then to build on it. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. That's the number. 516-620-3602. Go to your phones right. Thank you. Thank you. Phones are beginning to ring. Thank you. We need more. Yes, let's get more than five if we can get them. Now, here's the other piece that we got in the next 9-8 minutes, because I have to get off by 55. I have put up $50 a day. $50. Now, can I just get 10 people to match that $50? I don't want just 10 people. No premium, except the premium is WBAI. And it may be people who decide to give again because I am asking you to. I'm not getting a premium. There's no premium. No, I don't get a premium. I know what the premium is. I'm not getting it twisted. I'm clear that the premium is WBAI. So I'm putting up another $50 a day. Now I want 10 people to match that $50. Now some people will say, well, Ron, I don't have 50. Can I give 10? Can I give 25? Yes, give whatever you can. But if you can give $50, please call right now, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. I mean, if Marcus Garvey could convene over 2,000 people from all over the world who got here and stayed for 30 days in 1920 with no email, no Instagram, no Facebook. I mean, come on, sisters and brothers. I mean, there was a serious commitment, sacrifice, whatever. And they launched the Black Star Line, supported with the resources of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of black people who stepped up in 1920. So what's up with us? What's up with us? That we have to be on the line begging for support for WBAI, and this is for everybody. I mean, it's everybody, but I'm talking to black people now. You know that there are very limited outlets for black people to get our word out, to get our message out on the radio. Now, there's Instagram and all that other stuff. That's good, and I'm not against that. That's positive. But a lot of us still get it through listening, and I like to listen. I like to hear something. Them tweets I'm a different generation. I like to feel stuff. I like to hear stuff. I like to touch stuff. Texting is fine, but I mean, you know, I want to hear something. And so radio does that for us. We still need radio. And, you know, even shows today, they're doing both. So if I listen to the News Hour, you know, on PBS, they'll say and go online to continue, but they still do the real deal. I mean, the person-to-person deal. That's what WBAI does. And that's how, and we have to sustain it. Now, you know, you've been hearing the stories. It is WBAI is under siege. There are people out there who don't want WBAI to survive as is, as an independent, strong, powerful, well-endowed voice that has assets that some people would like to get their hands on. And so our management team and many of the producers and others are fighting or struggling or organizing, fighting tooth and nail to save WBAI as an independent voice. And so that's why we need your support now more than ever. So WBAI buddies, those are the persons we're looking for. Just $10 a month minimum out of your credit card, savings account, debit card, however you want to arrange it. Call 516-620-3602, $120 a year minimum. 516-620-3602. It will be such a blessing. It will be so well welcomed. And it's so encouraging when you're battling and fighting, trying to survive, and you see those WBAI buddies rolling in. You think, I can fight another day. Because we know that we're asking you to do a lot. But in an hour of great crises, we have to meet the challenge. And when the management sees, and I see for that matter, people meeting the challenge, it's encouraging. It gives me the sense that I can fight another day or two or three or four or forever. I can fight because there's hope that people who have been listening, who have been nurtured, who have been sustained in one way or another by listening to WBAI and having been supported by WBAI are supporting with their contributions, because no corporations are coming down to fund this. There are no corporations coming down to fund this. We know that. And we know that there's no governmental programs that are going to be put forth. And there are no, philanthropists who are going to step up necessarily to do this. And so we are the donors we've been looking for. We are the contributors we've been listening for, as I've been saying, I guess, over and over again, to the point I hope people aren't tuning out. But that's the only thing I know to do. Maybe somebody can train me to say it differently. I just come from the heart. That's the way I do it every week. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. 10 WBA, 5 WBAI buddies. 10 people who will match my contribution of $50. If you don't have $50 but you have 10, call. If you don't have $50 and you have $25, call. If you have more than $50 and want to give $75 or $100, call. But we're looking for 10 people to donate today. 10 people to donate today. At least $50. Or no, not at least $50. I mean, if you can do less than $50. But $50 is the goal. It's the target. I'm putting up $50 and ask people to match it. Match it. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Go to your phone. Thank you. Go to your phones right now. People are waiting. There are volunteers who are standing by. The phones are not blowing up, but people are trickling. But we want it to be a flood in the next 3 minutes, two and a half, 3 minutes. 516-620-3602. Go to your phones right now to become either a WBA or both. You can double down, as I say. You can double down. You know, you can say, I'm giving $50 today to match the professor is asking, but I'm also going to become a WBAI buddy. You can do that right now by calling 516-620-3602. In fact, I'd like to see a number of those double down deals. You know what I mean? That just double down. For WBAI, double down for WBAI, double down for WBAI. Make a contribution and become a WBAI buddy. That's the best of all possible worlds. Double down for WBAI. 516-620-3602. Don't forget, we are aiming, we are marching towards December 2nd through the 6th. It seems like a long time away. I'm only talking about it now because we are going to have to mobilize and organize in a way that we perhaps have not asked us to do. But we're marching into Newark strong from this area. We are marching into Newark strong for State of the Black World Conference 5. State of the Black World Conference 5, December 6th, 2nd through the 6th. And the kickoff is on at the historic House of the Lord Church, the house that the Daughtrys built, the Daughtry family built, with all of their supporters, the historic House of the Lord Church on March the 7th, 2 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon sharp. We're going to be gathering in at the House of the Lord Church. Well, it's time for me to get out of here and make room for the news segment. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels urging you to continue to call 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. We're looking for your WBAI buddies. We're looking for 10 people to contribute at least $50, or you can do less or more. Keep those phones ringing. 516-620-3602. This is Professor. We will see you again here on WBAI 99.5 FM next week.
Time is truly wasted. There's no guarantee. Smiles in the making.